flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy rainy Thursday. A few minutes past 4 p.m. Pal Matt Pauly from the sports department is here. I don't expect you to tell that story that's private, but we're just talking about Matt's daughter, who is a doll. And
I can tell the story.
Okay.
I've got no problem telling
that's great.
It. So, my daughter is in kindergarten, and at her school, it's actually today, I haven't gotten the report yet, it is teacher swap day. For about an hour, all the teachers are going to go to a different classroom. I think they did like a big thing where they drew names, so they did it at some sort of, it's like Lutheran Schools Week this week, and she goes to a Lutheran school, so they've been doing unique things every day. When my daughter found out that her teacher was not going to be in her classroom for an hour, she just breaks out crying, going crazy. She is so upset by the fact that her teacher is going to be leaving. And she found that out like 3 days ago. And as parents, we have done nothing but, you know, try to massage those emotions over the last 3 days, as she has had a very hard time accepting the fact that for 1 hour, her teacher is going to be going and having all kinds of fun in another classroom.
Some strangers coming in.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably a mean, witchy kind of person. I'm 60 years old, and I can feel it right now in my chest. I hate to make Matt Pauly think his daughter's going to grow up like me. But
that is a scary thought.
That's a scary thought. But that's exactly the kind of thing I would have. If you told me 2 months ahead, I'd have been anxious for 2 months.
Yeah, thank God it was only 3 days and not like 2 weeks, because we'll talk her through it, and she'll be very accepting of what, you know, myself and my wife say. And then 10 minutes later, it's just, we've pressed the Nintendo reset button, and she's right back
she's
where
smart.
She was at.
She's a deep thinker.
She is.
She's way overthinking this.
We were at church this past Sunday, and the after Sunday school, so the discussion was about when Jesus was being tempted. So there's the Satan thing there. And the Sunday school teacher pulled us aside when we went to get her and said, hey, just so you know, she was asking some pretty deep questions about Satan. It's like, oh, boy. Oh, boy, where do I go with
this
one?
Who's
this
guy? Where did he come from? How do I manage that guy?
Like, you're five. Do not ask those questions.
not for a while.
But you get it. Like, when they introduce the Satan character, just like, hold the phone here. Hold on.
Yeah, that she was not, and she had all kinds of questions about it. Like, it got pretty deep, even with us later on.
I had the classic children's Bible that was in every dentist office, and I think it's page 377, and it's the temptation of Christ, and Christ is in his regalia up on a cliff, and then the most Satan ever drawing, he's red and cloven hooves, and he's floating off the cliff, and I used to go look at it, and then close it, and just start crying. I'd just go running into another room.
Scary stuff.
And then I bought it on eBay because I'm like this. And when I looked at it, it still got me. I didn't cry, but I still was just like, damn, that's a scary Satan.
Effective.
Children's book. Yeah. Very effective.
Very effective, yeah.
No kidding.
It's like the opposite of what the Hillsong Church people do, where they like, you know, manipulate the music to make your emotions feel a certain way. All kinds of stuff going on. Yeah.
Yeah. What are we talking about, boys? What's top of your mind?
Satan? No, sorry.
Nicely done.
You like that?
Yeah.
That was good. I'm surprised myself. Well, there's nothing to talk baseball on. I mean, not with the Cardinals anyway. I mean, we're still in this mode. So Bernie and I kicked it around today on the Gas House Gang, and I want to throw it at you guys. It just sucks that the off season is still not, like, even close to being settled, and we're like a week and a half from spring training.
Especially since we were excited.
Like, yeah, not just the Cardinals. I mean, like, it's... But all these other things are just, they're like, star players haven't signed, and it's holding up any Arenado thing. It's particularly jarring in St. Louis when you're looking at an entire offseason where literally nothing has changed. I mean, you let some contracts expire, which we knew were going to happen anyway. But, like, this has been the last few years where we're having too many big-name players having their pursuits dragged out into spring training. And the players and the agents, Scott Boras, they play a role in this, but so do teams. I just think teams have become so obsessed with, we got to get a deal. We got to get a deal. If we don't get a deal, we're going to wait. And it's like, okay, but you know, there is an entertainment aspect of your sport. There is something to be said about pleasing a fan base, about getting things done before it's time to go to spring training. Plus, we've seen so many of these late signings not work.
Especially for pitchers, but for position players too. The last thing you want is to show up to, there's a reason spring training is 6 weeks long. During the COVID year when they did the short spring training, like that's what, because years leading to that, people are like, oh, they didn't shorten spring training. They didn't shorten spring training. And then we saw what happened in the COVID year where you had a shortened spring training. It's like, oh, okay, now I see why they do 6 weeks. That makes sense. Yeah, that's what you have to do to get ready for the year. But this should be the period where less than 2 weeks from pitchers and catchers reporting, this should be the period where you know who your team is, you know what the team looks like, and you can just be excited about spring getting started. And in many aspects, it feels like the Cardinals' entire offseason is going to happen at some point in these 2 weeks, if it even happens at all.
Yeah. It's not a good plan. And I know you can't replicate, I wouldn't replicate what you have in the NBA and NFL, because when free agency opens in those sports, it's a frenzy. It's like everything's happening all at once. The big players are off the board immediately. And it exists that way. NHL's the same way because you have salary caps and teams have limited resources, so you can't really stretch it out. You better spend it while you can or it's going to be gone. It's a little different in baseball, and that's fine. I'm just asking everybody involved to maybe consider that you're pushing an entertainment product. You're not just selling widgets. It's not just about the best price.
And at the end of the day, what Pete Alonso ends up getting and what Alex Bregman ends up getting is not going to probably be that far off from what's being offered to those guys right now.
Yeah.
So just do it.
Make a deal.
And I put some of this on like Scott Boras too.
Yeah.
Like this is definitely an agent thing and a team thing. But if I were a team, I don't want to wait till now. I don't want to, like, if I'm talking about a core player like Pete Alonso, like, there's no excuse. The Mets should have had that done months ago.
I'm not sure if this question even makes sense, but I know that Scott Boras has been good for his players. Has he been good for the game?
I don't think he's been good or bad for the sport as a whole. Because this was all of the stuff, salaries rising, that was all going to happen with or without him. Because revenue's rising, and the players are going to have leverage. Star players have leverage. I think he used to be better than everybody else. I don't think he is anymore, and I don't think it's because he declined so much as just a lot of other agencies have grown over the last 20 years to be able to match his power and match his negotiating skills and, you know, his techniques and all of that. I don't think it's been bad. I'm not sure it's good anymore for his clients, though, because some of his clients now are not getting what they want. In fact, there's the story now is, rumor maybe is the better way to put it, that Pete Alonso is going to fire Boras the minute he signs, that he's not happy with how this has played out, and he's going to fire him. Now, I don't know if that's true, but that's been out there.
And he got fired by a couple guys last year, including Jordan Montgomery.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a good look when the Mets owner, Cohen, was at their version of Cardinals winter warm-up and was very open about the way the negotiations were going and put kind of a negative slant on it. I bet when Alonso heard that, he kind of said, oh, this doesn't sound great. This doesn't look good on me. I think Boras is still the best at getting, you know, the 1% of the 1%, the most money possible. But when it comes to his secondary guys, who are still top-level players. Alonso is these are all-star caliber players. They're just not the 1%. Those guys seem to be the ones that are getting the short end of the stick with him, where this has taken way too long to get deals done.
Maybe I'm just being narcissistic and thinking that everyone feels the way I do, but I am really excited for spring training.
Yeah, I always do. I think we are, obviously. I mean, it's always that way. And I saw somebody, I think it was Tom had tweeted, like, it was like 11 days until pitchers and catchers. And I retweeted that with a gif of Judd Nelson from the Breakfast Club throwing the fist in the air like, yeah. And, of course, then you get the responses like, I've never been less excited for spring training. The Cardinals are terrible. And I'm like, hey, you got to figure out what terrible actually means. Like, terrible is not a team that occasionally, once every 20 years, finishes under 500. Right? Like, terrible is a team that's, like, winning 60 games and losing 100. That's terrible. The Cardinals have been underachievers.
Yes.
And that's kind of the way that, like, the language and approach to things in sports mirrors what we see in politics. It's everything is dramatic. Everything is extreme.
They're the worst team in the world.
Right, right. It can't just be that, you know what, you're not as good as you should be, which is true. The Cardinals have underachieved. They're telling us that. They're telling us that by firing people and replacing people and having a line of succession to take over for Mo. Like, they know it. We all know it. They've underachieved. But 83 wins, while definitely not good enough, is not terrible. It's just okay, and okay is not good enough in St. Louis.
I know every spring training is obviously different because there are different players and coaches, but would you expect an appreciably different approach this year given the young talent?
So, a couple things. First off, I think there's going to be even more of a focus on teaching in spring training this year, just because you do have so many young guys, and that's one of the fortes of this coaching staff, including manager Oliver Marmol, so I think there's going to be more of a focus on that. I also think they need to look at the way they do everything in spring training, because they've gotten off to slow starts each of the last 2 years. 2 years ago, last year in spring training, when we talked about the previous year, they tried to blame it on the World Baseball Classic, which is not why.
Right.
And then it happened again. So they got to look at everything they do in spring training and say, are we ready for the bell? Because they haven't been the last two seasons.
I'm really interested to see, like, what the impact is of guys like Daniel Descalso and John Jay. And, you know, the longer that they're, you know, the fact that these are guys that are part of this winning tradition, they were not star talents. They were not Albert Pujols. They were not the elites, but they were critical parts on teams. And both of those guys were known for the things that can be taught. They were known for their fundamentals. They were known for their defensive quality. They were known for running the bases well. Like, this is what they were good at. I'm really interested to see if the generation, I don't want to say gap, but if the younger guys that are in those positions, because they are younger for coaches, if that helps connect with younger players.
To Matt's point about not being ready the past couple seasons, do you have theories on why, what they're doing or not doing?
No, because it'd be disingenuous if I came up with an answer right now, because I'm sitting there in spring training going, man, this thing is humming along. This looks great. So, no, I have no answer to that, and I'm sure they don't either. I mean, there was no reason to look at what was actually happening in spring training the last 2 years, at least from a over-the-hood optic standpoint, that would indicate that anything bad was going to happen at the beginning of the year.
So, well, what's gone wrong the most early in years?
Probably pitching.
It's been a little bit – well, I thought this past season, I thought it was the offense lagging early, because like Lance Lynn got off to a good start. Kyle Gibson got off to a good start. So I'm almost wondering if there just isn't enough, because it's hard to tell, because, you know, the game at bats are one thing. I wonder if there are enough guys getting enough real game at bats in the A games, not the B games, not sitting at home when the team's on the road and saying, I'm not going to make the trip. I'm just going to get at bats in the B game. I'm not saying, I don't know for sure that that's the case, because I don't know that I could trace the player, because it's the young players that are struggling out of the gate.
Yeah.
It's Jordan Walker, it's guys like that that are coming out slow. It might just be the nature of the construction of the team the last couple of years, rather than anything that's changed in spring training.
I would also argue back, though, that the hitting never really got better all year. Like, that wasn't wasn't a beginning of the season problem. That was just a problem.
Which would reflect itself in the beginning. So it may not be specific to spring training as to what's doing it.
So for someone like me who's never been to spring training, outside of the games, I know what games look like. What are they doing all day? Like, we all played Little League. Most of us played high school. I know what a baseball practice looks like. Get one, get two. Like, are they doing the basic stuff?
Yeah, I mean, so before games start, They're in the on the field early in the morning for kind of in just their own work, and then they go back out about 9 o'clock, and they go from station to station to station. So you got all these backfields, and the same things are being worked out on each field, and you know they'll do 20, 25 minutes, and then they'll switch, and that group will go to the next field, and they're just working on all that sort of stuff. Once you get into the games, there'll be a group of guys that are designated to be playing in the games, and then there's also going to be a group of guys that are designated to work on the backfields and do that sort of stuff. But what's amazing to me is, you know, the Cardinals clubhouse will open up at 8 o'clock in the morning. Stuff doesn't really officially start until 9. You'll see guys walking in at 8. They've already been outside doing stuff. 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So it gets go. It's really weird though because games are at night. Like they train early in the day, and then once you actually start playing games, you play them at night.
Yeah, they do it all early though because they want to get out early.
Yeah,
like they want to have time on the afternoon to spend with family, to go golfing, to do those things. But yeah, you'll see, especially catchers, they're hitting at 6:30 in the morning, doing some early work, come in, eat breakfast, talk to us, and then go back out.
Nice. Yeah. Thank you, Matt. Yep.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
DGS on KMOX. Be taking a day off tomorrow. Just got some stuff to get done. No big whoop. Be back on Monday. You guys will take care of you. So big anniversary today, right?
How about that? 25 years ago today was the greatest show on turf, finishing off the Super Bowl victory.
Nice.
That's 25 years ago.
We all have our story.
Ugh.
We had Debbie and Rick over, our friends. Nick was 5. Phoebe was a glimmer in my eye. We had a ridiculously big roaring fire going, and I was standing on an ottoman with wheels because I was just so nervous.
Yeah.
And when we made that last tackle, I jumped, and it went out from under me.
Oh, no!
And I landed on my back, and Murphy went, and everyone just started laughing.
That's
and
so great.
It was just so great.
Man, I got to tell you, it doesn't get any closer than that, does it?
The one and only time I ever face painted.
Man. Oh, really?
Yeah, I painted my face.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was obviously 7 years before I came to St. Louis. And my story on them is from preseason. It was a day or two after Trent Green blew out his knee. Had his knee blown out on a cheap shot. And I was doing overnights on Sporting News Radio, you know, and we had an affiliate here in St. Louis. Somebody called from St. Louis and asked what I thought their chances were. You think they could still make the playoffs? And I started laughing. I'm like, no. I'm like, they got a really good team, you know, because I added Marshall Faulk. We all knew Isaac Bruce. They had drafted Torrey Holt, who was a stud in college. Everybody knew that there was like talent there, but like you lost your quarterback, man. And it's a guy nobody's ever heard of. Like, yeah, the guy bagging groceries is going to go make you a playoff team. Duh. Kurt Warner's just a Hall of Famer is all.
That's awesome.
But I mean, what a Cinderella story, though. There isn't much of a better one as far as an individual athlete.
If they had made up that story, you'd enjoy it, but you'd be like, that's not realistic.
Right, right. If you just made that a movie without it having been real, you'd be like, that never happened.
Yeah.
There's no way this guy that's nobody from nowhere gets to be a Hall of Famer and an MVP and win the Super Bowl in his first year.
Hasn't there been a big movie about that?
There was.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Zachary Levi played Kurt Warner.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
There you have it.
Thanks for paying attention.
There you have it. I'll make you maybe.